It's Helping Hand. Weekly feature airs statewide on HPR1 stations Friday afternoons, part of our afternoon drive broadcast of All Things Considered, and then appearing online at hawaiipublicradio.org. That's where all of our Helping Hand segments and resources are archived. On Fridays, Helping Hand puts a spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to people with disabilities and others among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence. This week we are learning about a local nonprofit that has formed to raise funds and awareness in the fight to save endangered animals from the illegal wildlife trade. And right now it appears they're focused on among the most vulnerable animals anywhere in the world, the rhinoceros. It's an animal on the fast track to extinction due to consumers in just two Asia-Pacific countries, China and Vietnam, and the nationals from these countries who live elsewhere, who are involved in the rhino horn trade. Wild Aloha Foundation is currently funneling the money that they raise to another nonprofit. They're called Care for Wild. It's a rhino orphanage in Africa. They are truly on the front lines of the crisis. They care for baby rhinos whose mothers have been poached, often in front of them. Babies traumatized from the experience, sometimes physically wounded and in need of 24-hour-a-day specialized care and unique milk. They have their kickoff fundraising event Thursday, September 6th, this coming Thursday at Amuse Wine Bar in Honolulu, and they are calling it Winos for Rhinos. And the idea here is that the Wild Aloha Foundation will give 100% of the money raised to Care for Wild, to care for those little baby rhinos in South Africa. We're joined to learn all about this organization and their mission and this event with Miley Miller. She is an attorney at Honolulu law firm Starn O'Toole Marcus and Fisher, and she is also the president and co-founder of Wild Aloha Foundation. Aloha and welcome to HPR, Miley.
Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. And so nice that there is a lawyer right here in Honolulu fighting for rhinos. And first explain, because it's a new name to me and obviously probably to a lot of people, who the Wild Aloha Foundation is and how it functions.
So at this point, Wild Aloha Foundation is three people, myself, Pualena Pakele and Cabot, and Cassandra Lowe. And we are basically just three animal lovers who feel like we're stuck on an island. And we're trying to help the world as best we can. This is something that we all talked about in our spare time. And then one day we just decided to make it happen. And a lot of late nights went into it. A lot of paperwork went into it. Becoming a 501c3 is not an easy task. Mm. And it's just started out as a small idea. And then once we started rolling with it, it happened. And now here we are.
So I've heard a little bit from you about its origins, but for folks listening, is there an interesting story as to how you became passionate about this? And in particular, explain to people listening the desperate plight of the rhino and how that touches you.
So for me, I've always been particularly interested in rhinos. I think it started when I was in high school. I remember I had a teacher, Shannon Laurie, and we had a class called Global Eyes. And I don't even remember what the context of the discussion was. But I remember her telling a story that she was on a safari in Africa and they came across a rhino that had been poached, but that rhino was still alive. And I remember my teacher explaining that it was horrifying and the guides ended up putting the rhino down to try to help the rhino as best they could. But she just said it was just such a terrible experience. And to be honest, I could be misremembering it. Maybe it wasn't even her, but I just remember this story very clearly about a rhino's face having been hacked off with a chainsaw, and they didn't even have the decency to kill the rhino first. So that kind of started it. And then obviously life got busy. I went on, did various things. I taught for a while. I went to law school. A couple years ago, I actually remember on HPR, you were talking about the Australian Rhino Project, and you had mentioned some statistics that were horrifying to me, and that sort of reignited my passion. And then recently, I have been posting about the rhino crisis on my personal social media pages, and then I was talking to Pua, and then we brought Cass in, and then all of a sudden, we were like, why don't we try to do something a little bit more? And given where we are located in Hawaii, we have the huge influence culturally from the Asia Pacific region. And we also, just in terms of our physical location, are at the intersection of the wildlife trade, because much of the actual rhino horn and elephant ivory and pangolin scales are going through our airports. That's my understanding. I don't have any concrete statistics on that, but that's basically what the situation is. And we are trying to raise as much awareness locally as we can, even though people think that it is a faraway problem.
Well, yeah, a couple things in there. It's definitely, it's interesting when people around the world grow up with certain animals, and maybe in kindergarten, they already know what a lion, a tiger, an elephant, maybe a rhino is. And that's like a global phenomenon. Yet the animals are only found in a certain place. And then dialing in even more, the people who are killing them or who need those substances are really only found in a certain place. And it is true. It's in Asia. And when it comes to the rhino horn, it ends up being just a couple of countries that, for whatever reason, those consumers want them. And prior to Hawaii enacting some sort of legislation that was historic relating to the trade of ivory, this market was considered the third biggest market for those substances. And you pointed out something else that's pretty important about the crisis, which is a lot of people don't realize how it's done. Sometimes there are people in China and Vietnam who believe that the tusk from an elephant or the horn from a rhino can be acquired while the animal is alive, or that somehow it does not involve a savage, brutal, violent encounter where often the animal is left alive with a gaping wound for days, weeks at a time, suffering and invariably dying unless somebody is able to save it, which is a very, very hard task. And ironically, one of the other nonprofits, a kind of good lead into, so at the website, again, we're talking with Miley Miller, president and co-founder of Wild Aloha Foundation, wildalohafoundation.org. You guys are going to, we mentioned in the intro, you're supporting Care for Wild, which is Care for Wild Africa, rhino orphanage in Africa. But another one of the organizations you mentioned and that I was sort of alluding to, Saving the Survivors. It's one of the handful of organizations that tries to go and help those animals that, like Miley described, are found suffering from these horrible wounds. How did you come up with the nonprofits you plan to support, and are you going to eventually rotate through to give funds to other organizations like Saving the Survivors?
Yes, absolutely. So our theory is that we are going to have different events. Some events will be kid-friendly. Obviously, Winos for Rhinos is not that event. We're going to have a whole bunch of different types of events. Each event will support a different organization and or a different animal. In terms of how we choose the nonprofits, Pua and Cass and I sit down. We kind of go through which ones would be legitimate. We want to make sure we're not exacerbating the problem by not giving to legitimate 501c3s. So if they're not a 501c3, we make sure they're registered with the relevant country authority to make sure that they are an actually legitimate organization. And then it's mostly just who kind of we think needs our help the most right now. The reason that Care for Wild got chosen right off the bat is maybe about 2 months ago, they got a brand new baby orphan rhino. His name is Arthur the Brave. And Arthur's mother was poached, but in that process, he got severe machete wounds to his back and his front hoof. And basically, the people at Care for Wild think that he was trying to protect his mother right as she was being killed. So little Arthur had quite the expenses related to him because he had several vets that needed to come and check his wounds, clean his wounds. I just read today that he's finally starting to put on weight because for the first couple months, all of the food that he was eating and all of that energy was just going to repairing his wounds and helping the wounds heal versus actually helping him gain weight. But he's just started to gain weight. And so he's sort of our first mascot, if you will, for this event, because obviously the funds are going to Care for Wild as a whole, but Arthur is really the one who made us decide to go with Care for Wild as our first kickoff event.
And this organization, people can look at them online, Care for Wild. They were founded by Petronel Nuwut, I believe is the pronunciation of her last name. She's an ex-South Africa law enforcement officer. It's a sobering place. Their primary mission is caring for baby rhinos that would never be cared for by people if not for their mothers being killed. And they are the biggest of the orphan of the rhino orphanages in South Africa. And these are strange places because, again, highlighting the problem, I mean, this is an animal that requires guys with machine guns to be standing near the animal 24 hours a day to keep that animal alive. And these are babies who barely even have horns. And I remember when this woman, Petronel, began building the site and put the site up, they had to, as more and more rhinos come there, because they knew people who would find them knew they'd be safe at this place and knew that she had the expertise to care for them, they had to hire more and more security. So it's really, when you talk about the funds that they need, not only is doctors, vets caring for wounds, that's very expensive, and we all know that from our own lives. But on top of that, you don't need just any security. You need a lot of very reliable security, and they have to be heavily armed.
Exactly. I think that the funds just to care for a rhino generally average about $2,000 a month at Care for Wild, but that's just talking about the normal medical expenses, the feed, the hay, the milk. When you start factoring in the security fences for the canine units, they have horse units, they have basically security, human security forces, they have fences, they have lights. I mean,
thermal imaging.
Right. It is a war, right, that they are on the front lines, and it is an expensive war. So every dollar that we can raise, we're happy to raise and send their way.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, this is a touching place. I think it's 70-something little squeaking baby rhinos that don't even have horns that require guys that look like a special forces unit to defend them. It's a really humbling thing. You explained how they've touched you, and you've explained how you guys started this. So it's an unusual thing that is going to be happening at this event. I was trying to figure out exactly, this is a very special event too. The first time I think there's been one of these local fundraising events, because you hear about the bowling for rhinos, and winos for rhinos, and other parts of the world. If you follow this sort of thing, there's lots of fundraising like this all over the world. So it's so exciting. This is the first time I ever remember one happening in Honolulu. It's going to be this coming Thursday, 5 p.m., Amuse Wine Bar. And explain how this fundraising event works and what's going to be happening there.
So basically, you purchase a ticket for $50. With that ticket, you're going to get a $50 wine card for Amuse. For those who are familiar with Amuse, you use the wine card to go choose whatever wine you want, and it's an automated spouts, and you can choose a really expensive wine, you can choose a cheaper wine, you can try a whole bunch of different wines. So your ticket basically pays for itself right off the bat. With your ticket, we're also going to have light poo-poos, and we're also going to have some fabulous door prizes. We've gotten amazing donations from Alan Wong's, from Courtyard Marriott, from a lot of local swimsuit and jewelry stores. So we have a bunch of great opportunities to win prizes. We're going to have YouTube playing in the background from Care for Wild, their YouTube page. It will be on silent, but it's basically going to be just videos of the cute baby rhinos in the background. We're going to have fact sheets. Pua and Cass and I will be walking around the room, talking to everybody, helping to explain the pertinent information to anybody who wants to hear more. We're trying not to bang people over the head, but like you said, there's just so much information that we want to get through. I mean, at the rate that we are poaching rhinos right now, they're supposed to be extinct by 2024. So within 6 years, the projections are that there are not going to be rhinos unless there is a huge change in the tide. So we're really, really trying to push awareness. One of the main hashtags that we use on Instagram that's pretty popular, it's not something that we came up with at all, but it's when the buying stops, the killing will too. So that's sort of just our constant theme. Knowledge
Wild
is
Aid.
Power. Yeah, Wild Aid is a great organization. They're doing great work, but that hashtag has taken on sort of a name of its own.
And it's especially relevant on this when, as you point out, we're the Asia Pacific city. This is this is where the stuff is being bought. This is where it's being driven. It's a very good slogan.
Yeah, and we're also trying to, we've been working with some great friends who have been translating our hashtags into Vietnamese and Chinese to get the right characters so we can try to raise awareness in every way that we possibly can, because our sense is if you're a little kid and you start reading about this, you'll start caring about it, and you're never going to want to buy some product that allegedly cures something if you know what goes into getting that product.
As I meant, when you're little kids, when you're learning what these animals are, you don't learn these iconic, you never thought, rather, these iconic species would be on the block someday for just some crazy reason like that, and that it would just be two countries on the whole world would kind of be determining who we get to have in our lives. That means, like, if you have children, Miley, in the future, theoretically, these two countries' consumers are going to be deciding whether or not your child gets to grow up and know that those animals are still in the world, like when we were in kindergarten, or they're going to be presented to them as a historic thing that used to exist, like a dinosaur.
Yeah, exactly. I think that there's so much education that needs to be done, not just for the rhinos, but for several animals. And while we're focusing on rhinos right now, we're going to try to expand our next event. We're probably going to try to focus on an animal that's a little bit closer to home, but we're always going to come back to animals like the rhinos and the elephants. This is an ongoing crisis, and I think that really as many people as possible need to help fight this battle.
People who want to help out, obviously it's $50 to get a card to be part of it. It's what is the distillation that I got out of it, right? $50 is to make a donation to this. But people who can't make the event or are busy that night and they want to help out, they can still make a donation at your website, correct?
Yes, you can make a donation at our website. You can make a donation at our Facebook page. To be honest, if you're interested in it, make a donation directly to Care for Wild. It doesn't need to funnel towards us. We're just trying to get money to them, so we're happy to get that money to them in whatever way is easiest for people. We are a registered 501c3, so your donation will be tax deductible. I believe that Care for Wild also has 501c3 status. You just have to be careful with which
portal you use. Yeah, like you mentioned earlier, because most of these nonprofits, which is basically saying is they're not in the United States, so when it comes to that tax ID stuff, some of them don't. They may not necessarily have a U.S. version of
Correct.
That tax ID. So organizations like Wild Aloha Foundation help make donations to them easier in some cases, because then you can get that tax deductible status
Correct.
For your donation, because it's an American company that's funneling it. People, you mentioned all these people who've been providing you with door prizes and stuff like that. So whether it's people who volunteered who want to help you organize future events, maybe have a venue that they'd like to host it at, maybe someone has a restaurant, bar, place and they want to do this at there, and they're hearing, wow, we'd love to host this at our place, or they want to spread the word about your events on social media or your organization. Maybe they want to provide you donations of door prizes or other giveaway items that you could use at this event. Perhaps there's companies out there that have, they could give you a gift card, a gift certificate, items that they sell, trips, who knows what they have, a car. Perhaps there's a, like I said, a business that wants to host a future event or be a sponsor of an event if they can't host one. The floor is yours. Talk about the other ways that I've tried to allude to that people can support you.
Everything you said sounds awesome. We're open to any ideas. We're open to any donations, sponsorship. We're so new right now, and we're honestly just getting off the ground, that we really are open to anything and everything. You can contact us any way via Facebook, Instagram, our website. All of us are very responsive. Somebody will see your message and get back to you within a few hours, realistically. Between the three of us, there's pretty much 24/7 monitoring of all of our email accounts and social media accounts. So any and every little bit helps. And it doesn't, like you said, need to necessarily be a monetary donation.
Right. You could do it in any other number of ways. If you would like to host an event, I'm sure they would like to hear from you. Or participate in any other number of ways that you might have ideas, or perhaps you have translation skills that you could offer them, correct? There's other tangible things like that, or connections in China or Vietnam.
Yeah, anything. Translation skills would be amazing. We have a couple friends, but obviously the more people we have and the more connections we have grandiose ideas right now for where we want to go. So I think a lot of where we'll go will depend on how many resources we get and how many people we get to help us.
And the short of it is, even if people just want to spread the word on social media about the things that you do by following your different social media outlets and then reposting it, they are in essence also serving your cause, correct?
Absolutely.
It is Wild Aloha Foundation. The Wild Aloha Foundation can be found online at wildalohafoundation.org. You can there find a link to buy tickets to their Winos for Rhinos event that's coming up this Thursday at Amuse Wine Bar, 5 p.m. It gets started. How late does that run?
I think until 9.
Till 9. 5 to 9 this coming Thursday. You can make a secure online donation, like we said, at their website, or you can email them, info@wildalohafoundation.org. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can get the full interview, the radio feature, all their contact details, and all of our previous Helping Hand guests waiting for you at hawaiipublicradio.org. Just look for Helping Hand. We've been privileged today to be hearing from Miley Miller, who is the president and co-founder of the Wild Aloha Foundation, a local nonprofit that has taken up the cause of critically endangered animals and is having their inaugural event, their first ever fundraising event, kickoff fundraising event, as they call it, Thursday, September 6th, this Thursday, Amuse Wine Bar in Honolulu, Winos for Rhinos. It's $50 to get in, and 100% of the money raised will go to Care for Wild, which is their chosen benefactor for this event. It's a nonprofit, one of the most well-known and prestigious rhino orphanages anywhere in the world in South Africa, caring for some of the most vulnerable creatures on Earth. On behalf of those 70-something, I guess she had at one point, I mean, just an incredible arsenal. Every single one of those rhinos had their parent killed. And that's where all your money is going. So on behalf of all those little creatures and all the security guards and apparatus they've got defending them and the medical technology that's there to help them, that people are going to be supporting by going to your event. Thank you so much for doing it and for bringing a local push to an effort to try to help the rhinos. They really need the help. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you so much for having me.